This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Drew White, outstanding linebacker for Notre Dame, going to join us coming up here in about 10 minutes or so, give or take. We've talked some football. We've talked some hoops. Appreciate all our guests. And tonight's going to be an interesting night of basketball, Wes, with obviously with Duke and Michigan State. But we had some action going on last night as well, as North Carolina found themselves down 13-0 to UNLV. No problem, though, for Roy Williams, guys.
Yeah, Coach Roy and the boys were getting shut out by the Running Rebels last night at the Maui in Asheville. And then all of a sudden, Carolina threw an old 28-4 run at them to end the first half. And on into the second half, Tar Heels end up winning comfortably 78-51. They'll meet Stanford this afternoon over on ESPN, by the way, in the second round of the Maui, being played in Asheville for obvious reasons. The element in the game that strikes you, Carolina's depth is one, Mark. The other thing we mentioned in hour one that is worth noting here is Seth Greenberg said last week they'd be a good rebounding team. Well, a couple games in, I think they're better than good. At one point last night, it was 56-28 on the glass, 52-28 on the glass. Carolina led Vegas in rebounding. So they're going to be pretty good. R.J. Davis, by the way, another nice night. Garrison Brooks played well inside, but they got depth, man. Boy, they throw bodies at you. Whether it's Dayron Sharp, Armando Bacot, I mean, you just Leaky Black. They get contributions from so many different players. You know what it reminds you of, Pac? It reminds you of the kind of the way Florida State trended that one year. Remember when they started playing a lot of guys? They backed off and finished with like a 9-man rotation at the end of the year before they got, you know, more comfortable playing 10 or more in a game. Carolina's got that kind of depth. Those early Florida State, really deep Leonard Hamilton teams from a couple of years ago is what caught my eye last night when watching the Tar Heels.
Yeah, if you caught North Carolina last year, good for you. I think this will be a different North Carolina basketball team this season, however long it may be. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. But, again, down 13, Roy's looking around going, guess what? Larry Johnson ain't walking through that locker room. Let's go get these guys. And they did. They wore them out after that start. Greg Anthony, Larry Johnson not walking through that locker room, boys. Time out. Let's go. And it was see you later. They blew them out.
And for some of you older folks, Reggie Theus and Glenn Gondrazak aren't walking through that locker room either. So there you go.
It's funny. I was at that game at the Omni.
77. Michael Corrin.
Yep, and Marquette. Al
Michael
McGuire.
Corrin, baby.
That's it. UNC Charlotte, all that stuff.
Cornbread.
The Cornbread
Lou Massey.
Maxwell,
my Chad man, Kench. Cornbread.
That's it.
Yeah.
There were some names in that deal now. It was 100 years ago. But nevertheless.
Jerome Heels, Whitehead. Oh.
Yep. Marquette wearing those unis that were way ahead of their time. Al McGuire's last game.
Way ahead,
right? No doubt. But North Carolina's going to be just 77 fine.
77 title game. Oh. 77.
Yeah, oh. Going to the four-cornered it too early. Four-cornered it too early, Wes.
No, stop.
I'm just telling you.
Come on.
Had momentum. Just saying.
Walter Davis was hurt. Tom Lagarde was already out. I mean, come on, man. Don't be telling me four-cornered too early. I don't want to hear that.
Four corners.
Man. I don't want to hear that.
Lost momentum. Al McGuire.
For those of you dialing in, that was 43 years ago.
I mean, I was there. I was a knucklehead running around. 1977.
Running around the Omni, huh? Yeah.
Actually, it's 44.
How great was it to see, like, North Carolina, Marquette, Vegas? I mean,
and those,
what a Final Four that was, huh?
And those Vegas teams, for people that have no idea what we're talking about, hey, first to 100. I mean, that's how they played. They were out to on
that
the
– That was early Tark the Shark.
Yeah, they were like, man, they were a show. They first to 100. Let's go. Basketball was a different animal back then, yeah. Wes. Different animal. But North Carolina good last night. They're going to be fine.
By the way, the Drew Brooks-Mark Packer bar bet of the day. Last night, Vegas went 8 for 37 from 3. But yet hit a three for the 1,104th straight game. I think Vegas has hit a three in every game the shot has been in play in NCAA basketball, by the way, Pack.
That's a bar.
They're
bet.
The only school to hit a shot in every game that the three-point line has been in play in college basketball.
Yeah, bar bet. You learned something. If you learned anything on the three-hour show, that right there you can impress your buddies with.
Yep.
When you get together tonight, watch some hoops or hang out, do whatever you're doing, you drop that little bomb on you, say, you know what, you guys know this? And just kind of nonchalant it, too. Don't try to pretend like you know everything. Just kind of nonchalant that one. Like, hey, that's a great shot there that Johnson just made from Dick. Hey, that's a cool three. Hey, by the way, did you guys know? And then you throw that one on them. And they go, man, where'd you come up with that?
That's yeah.
Just
something. Yeah, 1,104 games going into today.
Yeah.
So just kind of toss that one out there. It'll marinate, right, Pac? That'll marinate.
That's right. Impress your buddies with that.
So we get, by the way, Boston College lost as well to St. John's last night in Bubbleville up at the Mohegan Sun, 97-93. Winston Tabbs had 23 for the Eagles, who were 1-2, but I think a really good 1-2, if there is such a thing, three games in.
Yeah,
much better team. Duke, Michigan State tips at 7:30 tonight following the college football playoff rankings on ESPN. And just so you know, Mike Krzyzewski tonight will be going for his 200th win as a top 10 team against a ranked opponent. Now, all the environment differences and atmosphere things at Cameron without the crazies and without people in the seats and all those type things, and you can see some of the video here from the game against Coppin State to just see kind of where Coach K is and how the building will look. But think about that in that we're talking 200 wins as a top 10 team. And, oh, by the way, you're 200 wins as a top 10 team against ranked teams. That's longevity. That's strength of schedule. That's a lot of things. And not to mention he's 12-2 all-time against Tom Izzo in the regular season, too.
Yep, has never lost to Tom Izzo in the regular season. Should be a terrific game. And real quickly, women's basketball, Clemson won. They're 3-0. Clemson beat Charlotte last night. Two games going on. You got George Washington, Virginia Tech, Florida State tonight. So we'll have Wes Moore on tomorrow and Mike Young. So we look forward to having those gentlemen on, talking some men's and women's hoops. But it's hoop season, it's football season, and it's all good. And it's all good in Notre Dame right now, Wes.
Yeah, sure is. No kidding. And coming up, Drew White will join us. Don't forget, we got a men's basketball doubleheader for you right here on ACC Network. You'll get a look at Virginia this afternoon, number 15 in the country. After the loss to USF on Friday, they'll take on St. Francis of Pennsylvania, who, by the way, earlier beat Pittsburgh in their opener. And then 2-0 Louisville hosts Charles Bassey and Western Kentucky at 6 tonight from the KFC Yum Center. ACC basketball right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app tonight. And this afternoon is presented by GEICO. When we come back on Packer and Durham, the Tuesday edition, number 40, Drew White going to join the program from down in Boca Raton and now hammering folks for the Irish. We'll talk about that Notre Dame defense that delivered a message on Friday in Chapel Hill next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. We just got done talking to Cornell Powell, the outstanding senior wide receiver for Clemson. And now let's go to another outstanding senior at Notre Dame, because these two seem to be on a collision course, even though there's still work to be done in both camps. But Drew White now joins us, the outstanding linebacker for the Irish. Drew, first of all, appreciate your time this morning, and congratulations. You guys are really, really playing good football.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Before we get cranked up with the Syracuse Orangemen, which are hopefully coming to town this weekend, I want you to go backwards with us a second. Pandemic hits, no spring, summer's kind of goofy, but you knew you had all this great senior leadership coming back. Ian Book, we've had him on and all that stuff. We've had on all you guys, a bunch of seniors, a bunch of guys that have been around the block. At what point in time earlier this year did you get a sense that, hey, you know what? Yeah, we're Notre Dame. We know what the expectation level is, but this could be a special Notre Dame season. When did you know it?
I think I knew when we came back in the summer after quarantine, senior leadership on the team was, you know, really great. The SWAT team leaders, which are pretty much the workout leaders, were holding Zoom meetings with players and keeping up with the whole team during the quarantine, making sure everyone was doing their part. So when we got back to the summer on campus and we were all around each other, and I just, you know, looked in everybody's eyes, like I knew we were on a mission to do something great this season.
Drew, is it a combination of experience and chemistry and personality and knowing each other so well, or is there something else we're not seeing about the special season you guys have formulated?
Sure. I think on the defense side of the ball, it's definitely a mixture between playing free but playing sound in the defense as well. So making sure you're doing your job, but at the same time, you know, we have so many playmakers on the, you know, defense side of the ball that you really want those guys to just play free and not have too much on their mind. So I think it's really about, you know, finding that balance.
I thought you guys on Friday gave a glimpse to the rest of America, if there was ever any doubt, and there shouldn't be. But I thought after you lost Hamilton with the targeting call, you guys defensively seemingly took it to another notch. I mean, it was impressive to see you dismantle a North Carolina offense, which we know is incredibly talented on really on every level. Wide receivers, offensive line, backs, and Sam Howell. But it just seemed defensively you guys are like, okay, Hamilton's out, let's go attack. What was the premise behind all that?
Yeah, I think it plays into a part of, you know, having a chip on your shoulder. I think when Kyle Hamilton went down, we knew that there were going to be people that were going to doubt this defense. And so I think it gave everyone a chip on their shoulder, and, you know, all credit to Houston Griffith, who came in and did an unbelievable job for us, stepping up and playing 1-of-11. So it was really special to watch this defense step up when, you know, a key contributor of ours went down.
You know, Drew, it brings up also the challenge you guys had. You knew going into the ball game, I guess, how explosive Carolina was on the offensive side. And then yet you had that flurry at the front of the game. Did you almost have to calm yourself down a little bit after the start and say, okay, we still got a lot of football left here? And how did previous experiences help you last Friday?
Yeah, so after, you know, those first two drives, I think all of the leaders on the sideline, we all had to communicate with one another and express that, you know, this wasn't our standard. This wasn't, you know, the defense that we knew we could play. And, you know, despite North Carolina having a great offense, we thought we could shut them down. So on the sideline, it was just a lot of communication and reassurance that, you know, we're going to get back on that field and we're going to have some, three and outs. And get the offense the ball.
Drew, as a guy that's now been at Notre Dame as a senior, can you describe how you've watched your head football coach transition into where you guys are right now? Because there was a time Brian Kelly, you'd watch a Notre Dame game 5-6 years ago. He's screaming, he's red-faced, he's going nuts. And now it looks like, hey, it's a walk in the park that, hey, we've done the work, now let's go have fun on Saturday. But can you talk about how Brian Kelly has kind of transformed, even as you guys have gone freshman, sophomore, junior, senior?
Yeah, since I've been here, since, you know, 2017, I've seen Coach Kelly do a great job. I mean, I've only experienced success in this program since I've been here with the rest of the 2017 class. And I think it's him trusting in his coordinators, his assistant coaches, and also his players. He expresses to us all the time how much he trusts and loves each one of his players, and I think that just gives, you know, each player the validation they need to go out and play free and play for him. So I think, you know, since I've been here my freshman year, I've experienced, you know, wonderful things under Coach Kelly.
Yeah, it also brings to mind the preparation process, and I think you talked about that earlier. I've got to imagine that the practice sessions are fairly intense, given how much pride you guys have on defense and all the weapons on offense. The good versus good stuff must be electric, Drew.
Practice is always fun. It's you know, highly competitive, especially before the season and in fall camp. It's fun. I love practice, and, you know, whether it's 2-minute drills or inside drill with the O-line, it's always competitive.
What's the worst thing you've ever said to Ian Book?
You know what? I don't talk too much to Ian.
All right. So you're not going to give me that answer. I know the eyes don't lie, though, right? Linebackers' eyes never lie, right?
100%. But yeah. That's how I know that Ian Book's a baller, because I look across that line in practice. He's got that killer look in his eyes, so it's awesome to see.
Well, that's what makes you guys good, because you've been around the block. Like I said, this is a senior-dominated team. And I do think, too, and you could probably talk about this to some degree, the win against Clemson kind of felt like, hey, you know what? If there was anybody questioning us, there's a W you can't take away from it. And really, to be honest with you, it looks like you guys have gotten better every single week from the Clemson game. You're really kind of playing loose and free and having a good time.
Yeah, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, we talk about getting better every game and not really playing to our opponent, you know, whether it's Clemson or, you know, it's a team that's not as good. And so we try to play our standard of football every week. And so as a defense, we're always crafting our process to, you know, to get better. So I think as we progress through this season, you know, that's really what we've worked towards.
Drew, being a veteran guy at Notre Dame, one of the things that I'm intrigued by, and Pack and I have talked about a lot on this show, is in June, you guys were just going to play your schedule. Then all of a sudden in July, they kind of dropped, hey, by the way, you're going to play in the ACC this year. And for the first time in nearly 140 years, Notre Dame is playing football in a conference. Did that resonate with older guys at all, or was it just, hey, we're playing football?
Yeah, I can't talk for everyone on the team, but, I mean, my mindset going into the offseason and with so much, you know, uncertainty going into the 2020 season, I really just focused on each day and you know, getting better in my training and in my craft that, you know, that I was working. It's too much to pay attention to all what's going on in the league and with COVID-19, everything that's going on with that. So it was really just, you know, dialing in and just, you know, what can I control and what can I get better at today? And that's really, you know, what I think a lot of the guys focused on.
All right, I'm going to ask you a traditional question that we do for every student athlete, and we may even some follow-up questions afterwards. But what has been the hardest class that you've had at Notre Dame?
I've taken a lot of hard classes here at Notre Dame, for sure. I definitely think the hardest one that I had to take was a Hallmarks of Cancer class that I was in last year. That was a doozy.
And give me some details on that one.
It was just looking at all of the key fundamental mechanisms of, you know, cancer cells and how they play a part in the body in, you know, a biological way.
I guarantee that keep you busy. That keep you busy, Wes. Wes, you keep talking about finite math and all that stuff that bothered you at Elon. That one would have kept you busy.
No, this one, yeah. Okay, Drew, now, are you still, like, pre-professional studies? I'm curious how Hallmarks of Cancer ties in. Was that an elective, or was that part of what your major is?
So I'm a science business major, which is a blend of business and pre-med classes here at Notre Dame. So that played into one of my science electives. So that played into the kind of, you know, the pre-med route.
And how difficult, by the way, has this been? Forget football a second, right? How difficult has the studying been given the COVID situation?
Oh, I think through the COVID situation, you know, academics has definitely been a challenge. You know, there's a lot more distractions that you can get caught up with at home. So I think it's the same with football, just dialing in. You know, and focusing on what you have to get done.
Can you believe it's coming to an end?
Yeah, it's
weird to, you know, finally see the 2020 college football season come to an end here, finally with all of that talk preseason.
Well, I tell you what, you guys are doing a great job. You really are. You've been a joy to watch, and it just seems like you're getting better every single week. And for all the doubters out there about, Notre Dame, I guarantee you guys have a smile on your face. Like, guess what? We're going to go show you again Saturday how good this football team really is.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Hey, Drew, appreciate your time. Stay healthy, and look forward to watching you guys line it up on Saturday against Syracuse and on down the road.
Thank you again, and thanks for having me on.
You bet. Drew White, linebacker Notre Dame, out of Boca Raton, went to St. Thomas Aquinas and has had an outstanding season for the Irish, as has Clark Lee's defense. They've been tremendous. And the latest example, of course, second-half shutout they threw on North Carolina Friday in Chapel Hill. When we come back, today is the 1st of December, friends, and a Packer and Durham tradition, we note the month gone by. It's called Notepad. And we will do that when we continue right after this on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. We will give you the wide receiver U results coming up here in about 15 minutes. I still have no idea who won, but Cornell Powell's up for it. We'll see if he gets it. We will see. Don't know. It's time for Notepad. We do this looking back at the month, kind of the good, the bad, the ugly from that standpoint. And, Wes, we will lead off today with Notepad, with the category being the best offensive player of the month. And I lean to Ian Book at Notre Dame. I thought the way he played in the Clemson game, the establishment that he laid out in terms of what he did with BC and North Carolina, in addition to that, I went Ian Book with the best offensive player of the month in the Atlantic Coast Conference.
And we are in agreement on that. Notre Dame's Ian Book was the best offensive player of the month of November. So we did agree there. And there's no doubt last Friday solidified it for me, Pac.
Well, he was really good for last Friday, but I would take it even prior to that. I thought the Clemson game, everybody's sky high, everybody's juiced up, ready to go. I thought really where I was impressed the most with Ian Book was the following week with BC, because that could have been the ultimate letdown. BC was fired up, red bandana weekend, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was Ian Book's leadership with his legs, made no mistakes. They went on the road. They took BC's best shot early. No big deal. Let's go play 60 minutes. I just thought that Ian Book for the month of November was the shining light. I mean, great against Clemson, great Friday against North Carolina. But that game in between, which could have been a natural letdown, was not going to have anything to do with it. And so Ian Book gets nuts. So, again, we agree. That doesn't happen very often with Notepad. And this could be, by the way, for folks who may be watching or listening for the first time, it's not just a football category. I mean, now we may all have football answers. This could be any ACC sport for the month, individual, team, whatever the case may be.
Yep.
So there you go.
That's it.
All right, we go offense to defense.
That's it. Who's your best defensive player?
I decided to go with Christina Roque. And if you're going, Pack, I don't know who Christina Roque is. Well, you should. She is the goalkeeper for Florida State's ACC championship soccer team. And I know we had 1-2 in the championship match, Florida State, North Carolina, and it was 3-2, a lot of goals. But other than that, that'd be a shutout. And Florida State and North Carolina put on a show all year. So I went women's soccer, and Christina Roque is my selection.
That's good. I went with Peyton Wilson, the linebacker at NC State. And I'll tell you why. Not only does he lead the ACC in tackles per game, he is fourth in the country in that category, Pack. This guy finds the football. And Roddy Jones and I got into a conversation off air the other day about the hardest positions to vote for in all ACC. And running back is certainly going to be one of them. Linebacker is going to be another. Linebacker in this league, to decide who the best linebackers are, it's going to be crazy. But Peyton Wilson of NC State has potentially played his way into not only first-team All-ACC status, he may have played his way into some All-America votes as well. So hat tip to Peyton Wilson for a great month of November, and you saw the numbers, averaged 11. They play four games, and he had 11 tackles a ball game. It's crazy. And that's like a low number. He's had six games this year of double-figure tackles for the Wolfpack. All right, best story of the month, Pack.
All right, I'm going to go back to soccer, but not with the ladies. I'm going to go with the men. And we've bragged about how great soccer is in this league. Well, the regular season's over with, and the national rankings are out. The ACC finished up soccer in November, and they finished the nation ranked number one, number two, number three, number four. End of debate. I mean, that is ridiculous. One, two, three, four in the nation, not in the league. That's not a seeding in the conference. That's nationally. One, two, three, four. Men's soccer, ACC style.
Mm-hmm. Good. I like that. My story of the month is Bailey Hockman of NC State.
Hey, you got a mountain lion on your lap.
Bailey Hockman of I do have a mountain lion on my lap. Bailey Hockman of NC State is my story of the month. And it's not just right now. It's the return of Bailey Hockman, who started the year as the Wolfpack quarterback. Then Devin Leary took over. You want to get down? All right.
Yeah, he wants to go jump on your Christmas tree.
Devin Leary took over. You know, he might. You'll see that in a moment. But he took over after Devin Leary got hurt. And Bailey Hockman's done a phenomenal job for Dave Doran and has helped NC State. Now, he didn't have a great ball game at times, especially the first half the other day. Ended up throwing for a career high in yardage and in touchdowns. So congratulations to Bailey Hockman. I think the stick-to-itiveness, it's a long season. And it didn't start well, but the second return, the second time around, has been pretty good for Bailey Hockman. So I think that's one of the best stories in ACC football in terms of an overall team success and what Hockman learned as well. So all right. Congratulations, Bailey Hockman.
See a NC State
biggest disappointment.
Theme. I see a big NC State theme with you so far.
Well, at least. Well, right there was. Yeah, right. For sure.
All right, fair enough. Biggest disappointment.
Biggest disappointment.
The only way I can describe it is this way.
Oh, jeez. Oh, no. Oh. Come on, coach.
Oh,
come
three.
On, coach.
0-3. Virginia Tech football. The Hokies. My wife's alma mater. My wife's alma mater. Virginia Tech, 0-3 in November. That was my biggest disappointment. Didn't see it coming. Didn't expect them to be 0-3. And lost a tough one with Liberty. Lost a tough one with Miami. We're never in the game against Pittsburgh. And now an open date to get ready for big, bad, mighty Clemson coming up to what will be a cold and perhaps wet Blacksburg on Saturday night. But the Hokies 0-3 in November, Wes, is my pick. I just didn't see it coming at all. Really didn't.
Yeah. No, I get you. I understand. Been a bumpy ride this fall in Blacksburg, for sure.
November, for sure.
My disappointment, my biggest disappointment, Virginia. Not football.
Oh.
Basketball. I mean, look, I didn't think they'd be perfect, but I didn't see anybody losing to UMass Lowell getting you. Sorry. Just didn't see that one coming, folks. You got good players, and look, they hit shots. Drew Brooks, obviously the shooting coach for the Dons, but Bill Russell, Casey Jones, Bill Cartwright, Winford Boynes, those guys are not on the floor. This is, I don't know, man. I was not, Friday was just like, what? Really? Chaminade? We went Chaminade, Virginia again? That's what I thought, Pac. Chaminade.
Well, you know, it was a lot like last year. You know, Virginia Tech knocks off a number three. The ACC preseason favorite loses a game that you scratch your head. Last year it was Duke and Stephen F. Austin. Kentucky lost last year at home to Evansville. They lose this year to Richmond at Rupp. I mean, it's kind of weird how eerie, look at last year and what we got this year. And listen, this basketball thing is going to be bizarro right? And already has
it's
been.
Be
Wake
crazy.
Forest stopped and paused their operations yesterday in hoops. And,
well,
you know, we got a game tonight. I can't wait to watch Duke and Michigan State, which should be good. We got other games here on the network as well. So, college hoops, I mean, it's still, to me, it's still too early to draw any kind of crazy conclusions, good or bad.
All right. Well, biggest disappointment for me was Virginia. My biggest surprise, same building a night later. Mike Young,
yeah.
Virginia Tech, knocking off number 3 Villanova. Pack, right?
Yep, same. Totally agree with you, 100%. Again, why are we surprised? Mike Young does this seemingly now every year in Blacksburg. I told you. Last year was number 3 Michigan State in Maui. This go-around, number 3 Villanova. And, of course, Mike Young will be with us tomorrow. But just a great win. And this may be the ultimate surprise team in the ACC for all we know. Could be the Hokies.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. Great win. Kevi Aluma, 23-8-2. Well, Bisa Beattie's done an outstanding job, by the way, running the show for the Hokies as well. All right, best game of the month of November.
Easy. Notre Dame, Clemson, football. All the hype, double overtime. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence didn't play, but you know what? DJ did. He only threw for about 900 yards. This game was awesome. This game had everything you wanted. Drama, rallies, the favorite falling behind early, Notre Dame trying to make a stand.
Yeah.
Just a great, great game. And who knows? We may get round 2 in a couple weeks if these two can figure out a way to get there, but they got to earn it. But that was a great, great game.
Good point there. I'm going to pivot off of football, and I'm going to go to the ACC Field Hockey Championship. North Carolina had a long winning streak snapped in the regular season with a loss at Louisville, and those two teams squared off in the ACC Field Hockey Final. Louisville led early. Carolina had to rally to win, and the Tar Heels did. Karen Shelton, another ACC title. Aaron Mattson, another outstanding player award for the tournament. And Carolina avenges their only loss so far of the season and snapping that long streak in the match to Louisville, and they win the ACC field hockey title. And that is Notepad for November. Don't forget, tonight on this very network, 8 o'clock Eastern time, another edition of In Play comes your way, Pack. Kelsey Riggs and EJ Manuel, joined by the great Doug Flutie. Also, they'll react to the latest college football playoff rankings. 8 o'clock tonight, In Play, right here on ACC Network, streaming live on the ESPN app. When we come back to wrap the Tuesday show, by the way, we will give you the results of wide receiver U. Oh, man, are there so many good picks? Lewis, Simmons, Booth, Addison. More coming up in just a moment.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, final segment of the show. Appreciate all of our guests today. They were great. Wes Moore tomorrow. Coach Young tomorrow from Virginia Tech. We got hoops this afternoon, tonight, In Play going on tonight. It's going to be good, man. It's at December.
Orange or apple with Doug Flutie. Hey, orange or apple with Doug Flutie.
Be watching that tonight. Get that all over you. 8 o'clock right here, ACC Network.
Yeah.
All right, it's time for
college football playoff rankings at 7.
Yeah, I can't imagine there being a whole lot of change. I mean, you know, Northwestern lost. They got to go. Sorry. Enjoyed it. Pat's done a great job, but you know, I don't think there's a whole lot to talk about with that. But nevertheless, hey, watch what you want. All right, wide receiver U.
Okay.
I have purposefully not looked. I knew the nominees. We had, 11 yesterday that we unveiled. It got chopped to 4. Right. Then the fans vote. We got listen, we say this every week. It is not our call. It's totally up to the viewer and the listener to determine the winner of wide receiver U. We have nothing to do with it.
I didn't tell Drew or Josh during the break I was going to do this. I'm going to give you 4-1, and I'm going to give you the percentages of the vote, okay?
Okay.
All right. Fourth place with 8.5% of the vote, Jordan Addison.
What? No. Again, I said yesterday this was the best collection of catches. Jordan Addison's catch.
Right.
I could make the case, it could be the best catch of the year. And you're telling me it finished fourth.
Correct.
Oh, man. Oh, that. Now,
fourth.
Wait, again.
Fourth.
This is why I don't look at the
fourth.
Results. I want to hear this lot. Now, watch this play. This is stupid how ridiculously good this is. This angle's even better. Yeah, both feet in, people knocking it around, still caught it, still holding on to the
it's
ball.
It's a catch on Sunday.
Oh, dude, this is one of the best catches, period. I don't care what league you watch. That was fourth.
Okay.
Look at this angle.
Four. Right here is the best angle.
Yeah, this is stupid. Oh, my God.
Four. That's good enough for fourth.
That's – I'm – all right, go ahead. I'm not going to say anything else.
Third, C.J. Lewis, Boston College, which is also a great catch.
Yeah, I thought
this 18% of the vote. 18.1% of the vote.
Oh, my God. I mean, all of these catches are great.
Yeah, that's third, 18.1.
Look at this.
Okay.
Okay.
Second on the list, mere tenths of a point ahead of C.J. Lewis, Emory Simmons.
This catch
18.4. Not even 20%. Okay. This is a great catch, too. There you go. That's all I got. That's all we got right there. Right there. All right. Now, that means we know who won this, right? But before we play, let me also say once again, Emeka Mezi, I thought you got, man, I thought the man did you wrong, Emeka. I'm just going to tell you, you've made this list a lot, but I thought for sure your catch would make the list of nominees. Might even be a finalist. I just want that on record. Emeka, I thought the man did you wrong. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Andrew Booth.
55.1% of the people, participants who voted. 55.1. And I know we got a lot of Clemson people watch the show. Right? I get it. Andrew Booth, congratulations. You win again. A defensive back has won wide receiver U twice.
This is the angle, though. Gosh. Well,
I want you to ask Dabo about all his great catches at Alabama on Thursday. Did he ever have one that good?
I don't want to speak for Coach ever, but I think I can. No, was the answer to the question. The collection of catches this past week was the best we've ever had. And we gave you 11 yesterday. We could have given you 20. We had to cut it to 11. Yep. And that's where Emeka could have probably easily made that cut too. And he's on every week, it seems like. But that I knew that was going to be a tough vote. I didn't know it'd be that. I still can't believe Jordan Addison was fourth out of four there.
I can't either. By the way, our crack research staff is busy at work. We're crafting a wide receiver U special edition of Packer and Durham, by the way. We'll have that details on that for you as the month of December unfolds.
And a reminder, too, yes, Wes, sir. For everybody that watches and listens to the show, when you're watching an ACC game, you could be watching a game in person, be at a bar, be at your house with some buddies or whatever. You can always send us an email, a text, something on social media, and
hashtag.
Nominate somebody. It's not just us that come up with our, hey, did you see this game? You see the BC game? Did you see Florida State or whatever the case may be? As a fan, you can send it to us and go, hey, you need to add Joe Smith, defensive end, who had an interception or whatever it is, and add it to the mix. So we just compile all of this And then by Monday, we unveil, hey, here are the nominees. And then, of course, it gets knocked down to the finalists.
That's it.
And you guys vote. So that's how this whole process works. So just let everybody know. You can participate
right.
with everything we do.
The Lumberjacks. That's it. Lumberjacks, Back Row Bunkers, Crack Research, all that stuff happens. So that's how we compile the list of nominees, whittled down to the four finalists, and then you, the discerning ACC fan, votes. Okay. Just in case the holidays are, you need a little inspiration for the holidays, after his slight cameo appearance on the program a moment ago, I'd like to show you what happened last night at our home. That's right. Clifford got in a tree. There you have it. I was called into the room and told Clifford is in the tree. Sure was, right there.
It's
by the way, misuse of the word there, by the way. Bad English on my part. Sorry, Mom.
Oh,
just
boy.
So you know. Pretend they are. So my fault.
You know, anyway. It's not every day that you can walk around the house and see a 40-pound mountain lion pretend it's an ornament. It doesn't
in
happen very often.
In your tree, yeah.
Yeah, just saying.
Ooh, we got some exclusives here.
That's a fake tree, though, is it not? Is that
tomorrow,
a fake tree? Is that a fake tree, Wes?
It would not be one that we went out and chopped down. That is correct. Yeah, that is.
You have a plastic tree in your home.
That's why he's able to. That's why no, Pack. Come on now.
Got to have a real tree.
Like
sorry.
Come on.
You got to have the real tree.
Well, I got you. I'm not very good.
Do I need to bring the Ford F-150 down there with a little evergreen in the back?
Sure, sure. Why don't you do that? That'd be great. Great. Oh, man. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Wes Moore and Mike Young on Wednesday's Packer and Durham. Stay safe, everyone.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.